Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi there, and welcome to the Explaining History podcast. And I'm going to talk today about the Indian nationalist leader Subhas Chandra Bose, a fascinating and at the time and since divisive figure, a hero to some within the Indian independence movement, to others a traitor, a bête noire to the British. And also an interesting sort of paradox for us. He died before it was possible to ascertain the extent to which his role was pivotal in Indian independence. But I would say it's a very significant role indeed. And one which arguably has more significance even than individuals such as Gandhi. Subhas Chandra Bose was the leader of the Indian National Army. The Indian National Army was a creation in large part of the Japanese. And Bose believed that he would march at the head of an Indian division backed by a Japanese army into India from Burma. He actually ends his days flying out of Taiwan, being killed in a plane crash following the dropping of the atomic bombs on Japan, heading for Manchuria, where he wanted personally to surrender to Stalin. But we'll come to that story shortly. Chandra Bose was a Calcuttan. He was born in Orissa, and he was part of the respected Indian middle class. Unlike others, such as Nehru and indeed Gandhi, he was educated. He had a formal British education, and he went to Britain, where he achieved extraordinary results. At university, he trained at as a civil servant, and was, to all intents and purposes, part of this upwardly mobile Anglo-Indian mercantile bourgeois class who were groomed to be the next sort of senior administrators of India. The only problem for the colonial government in India was that Bose and a number of young men like him were fiercely proud nationalists, and whilst they wanted to access the education of the British Empire and use whatever the British Empire could offer, they refused to accept the dominance of white British colonial colonial governors and masters over India itself. So he was unlikely ever really to cooperate. He was by the late 1920s a pivotal figure in the Congress Party, becoming the General Secretary. And by 1928, he had already done several stints in prison, being arrested in 1925 as a prominent nationalist, and being imprisoned in Mandalay in Burma, which was a great place to put away the more troublesome members of the Congress Party, because Burma really is a backwater at this point. And the Burmese people, their national movement is really quite a different affair to that of the Congress movement. After a second bout in prison, Bose emerged, and in 1930 found himself elected as the Congress Mayor of Calcutta. Later in the 1930s, he travels to Europe, and a lot of his revolutionary nationalist ideas are kind of tempered within the polarising climate of Europe at the time. He meets Mussolini, and he is, by all accounts, quite impressed by Mussolini's brand of fascism, the extent to which Bose himself could be seen as fascist is quite questionable, despite his various flirtations with Nazi Germany and Imperial Japan, as we shall see subsequently. The sympathetic way of looking at those particular liaisons were that they were marriages of convenience. It's entirely doubtful whether Bose endorsed any of the kind of racial ideas that Nazi Germany put forward, for example. There's unfortunately a great and ahistorical tendency to start lumping anyone that ever met Hitler in with Hitler's specific goals and objectives. There are many people who were naive in going to visit Hitler. There are many people who believed that Nazism could potentially be progressive. I mean, obviously misguided in that view. I mean, you have politicians like 1938 David Lloyd George going to visit Hitler, for example. He is seldom being accused of being a genocidal anti-Semite. So there are people who simply visits to Nazi Germany does not alone make one a Nazi. He was elected president of the Indian National Congress in 1938. But by 1939, as it looked increasingly likely that there would be a war in Europe, a war which could be exploited by the nationalist movement in India, and certainly the Japanese had every intention to exploit the weakness of European powers in Asia, Bose put forward a manifesto of unconditional Swaraj, unconditional demands for self-rule, and if this included violent struggle, then so be it. And at this point, Gandhi intercedes, and there is a confrontation between the two. Gandhi's position within the Congress movement is so powerful that it forces Bose to either withdraw these ideas or to break with Congress. Bose himself, a fantastically self-opinionated man, I think one could say, arrogant and stubborn, would never have compromised with Gandhi, and viewed Gandhi and his non-violent movement as being utterly, utterly naive. Now, we are used to understanding Gandhi through the means of the famous Richard Attenborough film on him, and through all sorts of internet memes about Gandhi's non-violence aphorisms. But there were Gandhi's own ideas about non-violence were part of a long period of transition. Gandhi believed on the eve of the First World War that it would be probably in India's interests to fight in the First World War to gain independence, and also because the British Empire, bad though it was still worth defending in that it was able to capable of giving some kind of notion of liberalism and democracy around the world, and that no such concessions would come from whatever successor state snapped up India at the end of a successful war against Britain. So, Gandhi is... it's important not to see him in absolute terms. He was quite a pragmatist when it came to these matters. And Bose was, on the other side of the spectrum, believing that it was naive and sentimental to ignore the possibility of armed struggle, particularly when the opponents of Indian independence were heavily armed themselves, and following events such as the Amritsar massacre, would have no qualms about using armed force where necessary. Now, despite having a dim view of British rule, Bose was in touch with a great many liberal British intellectuals of the 1930s who were opposed to or dubious about empire. Much of the Labour Party, Stafford Cripps, Harold Laski, Clement Attlee, Arthur Greenwood, and also intellectuals like G.D.H. Cole, or correspondence with Bose. And Bose was a great fan of Kemal Atatürk of Turkey, who the British banned him from being able to meet up with. He saw that Atatürk's control of Turkey, where he'd imposed kind of secular modernism and statism, was what India would have to be experience following independence, and that it would have to be authoritarian. India, a multi-ethnic, multi-religious, diverse and chaotic country with a divisive caste system, Bose argued there was no way that you could simply allow a kind of a small state and an anarchic democracy to emerge. Instead, you know, the Indians would need to be taught, and perhaps in quite a tough way, how to exist in the modern world. On the other hand, from the Conservative Party came a barely concealed racism. During the run-up to the war, Bose was not entertained by anyone from the Conservative Party, in large part because he was a politician who came from the Dominions, and a member of His Majesty's government or of the Conservative Party would, on a point of principle, not entreat with someone like Bose. And this did nothing to make the future leader of the Indian National Army more inclined to his British overlords. And when the Viceroy of India, Lord Linlithgow, declared war on Nazi Germany on India's behalf without even consulting the Congress Party, it was Bose who organised the protests. Bose was arrested and kept in house arrest until 1941, when he escaped, disguised as a Pashtun, and he was transported through India from Bengal across Afghanistan and into the Soviet Union. At this point, the Soviet Union has a non-aggression pact with Nazi Germany, and they have all sorts of ties of cooperation, both economic and intelligence and strategic. Obviously, by the journey takes place in January 1941, because on June 22nd, the Nazis invade the Soviet Union. The help that Bose sought, he thought originally it might actually come from Stalin. So he travelled to Moscow, where he hoped...
Ready to pop the question?
The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That he could in some way reignite the great game between the Soviet Union and Great Britain, and that the Soviet Union might be instrumental in helping to liberate India. Bose would have been attracted a high degree of suspicion from Stalin. He was not in Comintern. He was part of an independent left that Stalin would really not have been particularly fond of. And also, as far as Stalin was concerned, he didn't view dealings in India as being a particular priority. So Bose is quite disappointed and instead is transported to Nazi Germany, where he gets a far more favourable hearing from Ribbentrop, who obviously bears an immense amount of enmity and hatred towards the British, and any opportunity to cause Britain trouble is excitedly seized upon by him, however tenuous the chances of really making any difference might well be. One of the great ironies is that when he's in Berlin after his meeting with Ribbentrop, he is attached to the Special Bureau for India, and this is led by Adam von Trotz-Zusolz, who was actually involved in the bomb plot against Hitler, and together they begin to build an Indian legion in Germany from Indian prisoners of war who were captured in North Africa fighting for the British, and begin to broadcast propaganda radio into India itself. The Free India Legion that Bose creates had ultimate loyalty sworn by oath to Adolf Hitler, of which Bose was his deputy in India. And the extent to which it would really have had any meaningful impact on the outcome of the war or on Indian independence at all is doubtful. There were only 3,000 members of the Legion, and there was a hope, but it had been a hope which had been kind of in existence since the time of Napoleon, that in British India could be invaded via Russia through Afghanistan. Had this been a possibility, the success that the Nazis would have had to have experienced in the war would already have probably meant that Britain would and the Soviet Union would have been defeated by that point anyway. So it really was the stuff of fantasy for the most part, and a real distraction for Hitler. Perhaps Ribbentrop might have been more interested in anything that could undermine the British. And the value of people like Bose or the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, who visited Hitler in 1941. The value of these figures really was propaganda more than anything else, and they were useful ways to muse about kind of undermining the British Empire. Whether they had any real significance at all is entirely doubtful. It would be the Japanese that would have the biggest impact on the British Empire in 1942. Bose becomes aware of this in 1943 and escapes to Japan via submarine. He leaves his Indian Legion behind, who do not really see any action at all during the war, and have some awkward questions to answer at its conclusion, and they are abandoned. Bose sees that Hitler is simply using him for propagandistic purposes, and there's never any really serious German attempt to undermine the British in India. In Japan, Bose began to develop the Indian National Army. The Indian National Army was originally the brainchild of a Japanese officer, Iwachi Fujiwara. And Fujiwara was one of a number of Japanese innovative thinkers in terms of guerrilla warfare and in terms of wars of national liberation in Asia. He was among a generation of Japanese officers that believed that Japan was a figurehead for Asia, for anti-colonial struggles in Asia, and that there could be columns of Malay, Burmese, Indian, Philippine and other nationalities ready to march under Japan's banner and to help drive Western imperialists out of Asia. Unfortunately for this plan, the experience of Japanese imperialism in places like Indonesia and Burma is far more horrific than anything even European colonialists can think of to do. And so very quickly the realities of life under a new Japanese overlords are particularly unpleasant and attractive. With Bose at the head of the INA, it saw a huge influx of funding from the Indian diaspora of the Southeast Asia. So Indians in places like Malaya and in Singapore gave large sums of money to the INA. INA was led by a provisional government, the Azad Hind government, which had recognition from nine Axis states, and there is some suggestion that it was recognised by the Soviet Union as well. And the high water moment for the INA is the bid to invade India in the summer of 1944, along with a Japanese army from Burma, that is defeated at the battles of Imphal and Kohima. Well, the provisional government of India, that was the brainchild of the creation of Bose and marched with the INA, was able to have diplomatic recognition. It had its own currency, its own stamps. It had all the trappings of statehood in waiting. The Indian soldiers of the INA realised that they were being treated as inferiors to the Japanese that they marched alongside. The Japanese looked upon Indian ways with great sort of misgivings. They believed the Indians to be sort of unclean and uncivilised people. And the Indian soldiers were very often used for kind of fetch and carry duties. And this created tension, but not a sufficient amount of tension really to derail the entire enterprise and to wreck the coalition. But it made the Japanese and the INA uneasy partners. The view that the Indian army, the regular Indian army, had of the INA differs. Some INA men were shot as prisoners, the British had plans of mass executions and arrests of those of you accused of treachery. These are things they are talked out of at the end of the war. It's seen as prudent to not go ahead with this. However, there is amongst a great many Indian people and a great many Indian servicemen in the regular Indian Army some degree of sympathy for the INA soldiers, and they are not looked upon in many quarters particularly unfavourably, and this alone spells doom for British rule in India, just as the aftermath of Bose's death does. British military defeat across Southeast Asia in 1942 and the wholesale abandonment of Britain's Asian subjects in places like Malaya, a mixture of Malays, Indians and Chinese are really left in the lurch as white Europeans flee for their lives. It's this kind of thing that loses Britain any respect, any remaining respect it had in its Indian Empire. And there was a belief that the might of the British was so great that it could not be overcome. And the Japanese relatively easily, with arguably, particularly in Malaya, fewer forces, demonstrate that this is indeed not the case. And the Emperor's new clothes are very much clearly revealed on that score. Bose died on the 18th of August 1945 when an overcrowded transport aircraft flew from Taiwan, still occupied by Japan, and making its way towards the Soviet Union, at least towards Soviet-occupied Manchuria. Bose had hoped that Japan would be able to resist the Americans for long enough that his Azad Hind movement would be able to establish itself as a representative of India by the time the inevitable happened and Japan was defeated and whatever peace conference he imagined would occur in the aftermath occurred. When he saw that this was not likely to happen, he decided that reading the tea leaves of the new Cold War, he saw that Stalin would be the new antagonist towards Britain and it was important to get to Moscow as quickly as possible. He was rather out of luck in the timing of the dropping of the two atomic bombs. Bose thought he had weeks or months longer than he did. He thought perhaps the war would drag on into 1946. This ended very quickly. And the flight that crashed, that some have conspiracy theorists have suggested was some kind of piece of final British subterfuge and the British assassination attempt, which, as the plane was flying out of Japanese occupied Taiwan, I find highly unlikely. There was a widespread disbelief that Bose was dead in August 1945, particularly in India. There were many people who believe, again, this was British propaganda and misinformation. But the fact that his death is greeted in India by many people as a tragedy and as something that really, this was a great man cut down in his prime, really does suggest that Britain had lost almost all her credibility during the war, and that what perhaps if Subhas Chandra Bose signifies anything, he signifies something in his death. He signifies that he died just at the moment that loyalty towards the British Raj and support for it in India was on the critical list anyway. And both deaths, the death of Bose and the death of British India, were caused by the Great Asian War 1942 to 1945. Anyway, I hope you found that interesting and useful, and I'll catch you on the next Explaining History podcast. We've got some new ebook titles coming out in a few weeks, and there are a whole bunch of exciting things we've got planned for the new year, but more on that next time. Speak to you soon. All the best. Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.